I will eat my apple in the open air under the juniper tree. How spare the wind is. It will excite my skin. For what? Let me unpeel the apple with my silver knife. Oh, a little cut. How the blood flows. I shake my hand thus across the snowbank. What a piercing red the blood is on the snow under the juniper tree. That is what I need. As I need God, a child, as red as blood and white as snow. I feel it has already happened. I feel so happy. And now a month passes, and the snow is gone. And 2 months, and the earth is green. And 3 months, and the flowers bloom everywhere. The trees are tangling green, and the birds hop in the perfumes of the trees, the incense of their green. And the blossoms fall, twisting down like a warm snow. And 5 months gone under the juniper tree, and it smells so sweet because its fruit is coming. And here I am on my knees praying to the tree. How foolish. And 6 months gone, the fruit is here, but not ready. The steely berries they call killbastard. And 7 months gone, the fruit is still and heavy, and my hand hovers, wishing to pick and eat come what will. And 7 months gone, I cram the juniper fruit into my mouth until the tart juice runs down, and my happiness is gone. They have made me ill. And 8 months gone, I tell my husband what must happen. I am going to die. Bury me under the juniper tree. And I am happy again, for 9 months gone, I bear my child, white as the snow and red as blood. And my happiness is so great, I die.
And 1 month gone. I am so unhappy. I never thought a man could cry so much under the juniper tree. And she's gone a month, and the storms all night have shaken the juniper, and I tidy the garden, and my tears flow under the juniper tree. Its scent catches my throat. There is lightning and distant thunder, pillars of light like ladders to heaven climbing from fields of vividest sunshine. The larch is thin and the beeches burn bare. And under the bark green of the juniper tree, I remember her. She is bones in the root pattern, and the needles perfume the quick sunbeams. And 3 months gone. The grass is frosty, except under the juniper tree. And the gate clicks. And I look up and see another woman. And walk out from the shade of the juniper tree. Here are my two children, feasting on apples for breakfast. 9 years have passed. My grief made me work, made money. Now I have a second wife, a little daughter by her. And a son so delicate, his skin as white as snow, his lips red as blood, just a year older. She's a strapping lass, is Anne-Marie, just like her mother. He's a bit thin, poor lad, Victor. A bit of a weed, but he'll plump out.
Victor? I wish you'd eat up your porridge. I won't give you apples if it spoils your appetite for porridge. Look at Anne-Marie here. She's a year younger than you, but twice as strong. Do you want to be a weakling all your life? Eat up your porridge. Clumsy boy! Now you've knocked your plate into your lap. Can't you do anything right, weed as you are?
That's enough, Eve. It puts me off my breakfast, the way you go on at the boy.
I never met her, Norman. But he must take after your first wife. I don't want him mooning off and dying. And I want that juniper tree chopped down. It's getting too close to the window. It makes the house damp and gives him a fever. Look at his hectic cheeks, near blood red. Have you finished clearing up that mess yet? You're always in the way, and don't help out like Anne-Marie does. Go and get yourself more porridge.
There isn't time. I must take him to school now, or I'll be late for work.
That's right. Take him off. Anne-Marie will stay and help Mummy in the house all day until the pest returns.
Eve, I wish you'd be just a bit kinder.
I will when he's a better boy. Give us a kiss, then. Oh, you're all sticky with apple.
Mother, can I have an apple from the chest? The lid's too heavy for me to lift.
Yes, of course you can, my dear. Never try to help yourself.
You see, the lid is heavy, and the edge is sharp. You might cut your fingers off.
Thank you, Mummy. Fitch will be back from school soon. Shall I get one for him, too? Whatever's the matter, Mother? You look as though the devil's in you.
What? No, you can't. And I'll have back the apple you got.
It's not time for tea.
Why should you have an apple before your brother? Anyway, I disapprove of snacks between meals.
But no.
I'm shutting the lid.
But here he is, Mummy.
Anne-Marie, go upstairs and tidy your hair before your father comes back.
Would you like an apple, son?
Yes, please, Stepmummy.
I wish you'd call me Mummy. Or my name, Eve. Give us a kiss, then.
Mummy, you look so terrible.
Always complaining. Give us a kiss. Or would you rather have your apple? All right, then. I'll hold the lid up for you. Pick your own from the chest.
Ah!
There you are, my boy. Your head rolls among the red apples, kissing them red.
Mummy?
Mummy. A mother. How could a mother? What have I done? I shall be hanged. Norman will turn against me. I shall lose my pretty home. The men will come and drag me to prison. Can I make him as guilty somehow? Can I implicate him? Or her?
Mummy?
Or her? Yes. Make it our female secret and bind my own daughter. Where is that white cloth I ironed yesterday? I'll prop the corpse up and Victor shall sit in this wooden chair. Quick, a bowl of warm water. I can get the head out of the chest and sponge it clean and wipe the neck and set the head on it and bind it firmly with a white cloth and set the chair against the light in the kitchen doorway and put an apple in his hand. Now, I'll stand by the range where the big pot of water is heating up, stirring it round and round, round and round.
Outside. He has an apple in his hand and looks so ill. I asked him for the apple, but he wouldn't answer.
Ask him again. And if he won't answer, box his ears for him. Just a bit.
Oh, Mummy, I tried to kiss him on his head. Oh, it was terrible how his head like meat fell from his shoulders.
What? What have you done? They'll hang you for this, my child. We must keep it secret. A sacred secret to keep you alive. A holy secret we'll act out together. In the old days, child, in the holy days, the fairy days, the days of the tales, the ancient days, they'd eat a child in a holy way.
Oh.
Yes, in a holy way. They'd kill a child and eat him because he was so young and tender like a lamb. And he was holy because his spirit would go on to God because he was young and beautiful. And plead with God because he was innocent
So it was a holy thing.
Poor Victor.
A holy thing. Never girls. Only the boys knew their way to God. It is a terrible thing to be a woman without access to God. But we have the boys like carrier pigeons to wing our messages and plead for us.
A terrible thing to be a woman?
Yes, my dear. I haven't told you yet. You always get blamed for everything. If there's anything wrong, you'll carry the can. Victor will render into a delicious broth. There, now, don't cry. It's a holy thing. Cry your woman's tears into the pot to salt it as I stir. Make a wish as I stir. Make a woman's wish as you eat. This is the only way a woman can find her way to God. With a holy play. A holy, cruel play.
Oh, I could eat a horse. Where's Victor? This stew is good. Where is my son? I want to ask him about his lessons. It's not so important for a girl, but a boy must be good at his lessons if he's to keep his wife and family. It's a burden lightened by good schooling. A woman must bear and a son learn. Where's Victor?
Oh, he went to his mother's great-uncle. I said he could stay there. He never said goodbye to me. It's his nature. I said he could stay 6 weeks. Great-uncle's a classic scholar. The stay will be good for him.
Oh, this is really good, Scouse. Have you got any more? It's so good. I'm surprised I feel sad at Victor going without saying goodbye. What an exquisite flavor. Anne-Marie, why are you crying? Oh, I felt sad too, but here. Look, food's the answer to that. Eve, have her plate. Oh, there's a little bone of the lamb that made this good, Scouse. Oh, what a shame. A little square bone, poor thing. But the tender meat tastes so good.
I got a little finger with a nail still on it. We're lost if he gets one.
Get me a plate for the bones, Eve. You'll not want me to throw them under the table. Oh, that was good. I think I'll just have a nap.
Oh, poor Victor. You're more part of us now than you ever were. I can't stop crying. How can I give my brother a good burial without burying my father, my mother, and myself, as we deserve? We all deserve after that feast.
I can bury his bones, his father's plate, and I can sift what's left of the stew to retrieve the flat bones of his skull that have sunk to the bottom, and I can wash them and dry them and wrap them in my best silk scarf. And what a little pile they make. And I can carry them outside. My tears feel sticky and hot like tears of blood. And in the juniper tree, there is a hole in its roots, just right for his bones in their silk bag, where the green grass springs out in a tuft. How brisk the wind is today. It is in the juniper, and its boughs seem to open out and shut again, like the hands of someone who is really happy. And there is a mist coming out of the trees, and it has a bright center like the sun. No, it's a bird flying out of the mist, crying so sweetly like the whole of summer. I can't quite see, but there's red and green, and plumage that scatters light like fire. It's gone. The mist's gone. Are his bones safe in the tree? No, I think they've gone. They must have dropped in deeper, out of sight, deep underground where they belong. But I feel so happy, as if he had never died.
Butchered by mother, devoured by father, gathered up by sister and Marie, she picked up the
like a god, like water, like lead, like gold.
I haven't been a metalsmith all these years without knowing a singing bird when I see one. It is the drab birds that sing most exquisitely. The dun-colored, dusty birds. And the plumage. Well, song is spent on plumage. It's one or the other. For instance, parrots, gordiers, flying blooms of the jungle blare like tuning wireless or croak in human transistor a garden or two away. Quack, quack. And pretty Polly. And how's your uncle then? Rubbish. So when a bird looking like this one, with the head of a hawk and the colors of a parrot, bronze and gold with a sheen of tin and silver, the colors of all the metals I work in, comes flying like flaming banners, I know it cannot sing. I make a singing bird, as I have for all the crowned heads of the continent. It has to have cogs of wood to sing. Cold feathers cannot sing. It's just a look at this one. I know a singing bird when I see one. It is not like a flying piece of rainbow. It does not carry its fine head like a human child. It does not have pinions splashed with eyes. Sitting on my fence by the workshop in the early sun, as I work on my masterpiece, this gold chain, it may give me visual inspiration, but it cannot sing.
Butchered by mother, devoured by father, upgathered in sisters, when dogs come, she takes up the bones of me, Pete and Marie. He took a fine silk and laid them under the juniper tree. Gold, like blood, like a leaf, reborn from my mother's dream.
Oh, what a song! It made the gold brighter. The gold I do not own that I work so hard in. How can I make it sing again? If I can get close, I can tempt it with some of the budgie seed. There, I'm near. But if it sang like that and I so close, it would sear me, I think, to the bone. It seems to love the glitter of the chain.
I will sing again for the chain.
It can talk. Who's the pretty... Oh, the chain. It is my chain. Yet it is not my chain. It is everything I own. I borrow the gold and pay the debt back by transforming the gold into a noble work.
I will sing again for the chain.
If they sold me up, it wouldn't pay for the chain. And they'd put me in debtor's prison. They would forge me an iron chain.
I will sing for the gold chain.
Look how it stretches out its great blue-sheened claw. All right, then. What's a little gold, more or less? I'll get another commission to pay off this one, and another to pay that off, and so on down the line until it's time to die and cheat the last customer. Yet, my work by this song will be so exquisite I shall have a patron by then. I hang the chain on your claw, bird. Sing for me again.
By my father, Yvon, by my sister, Dined upon. Butcher by mother, digester by her. Upgathering sisters, fine silk scarf, fine silk scarf. She picks up the bones of me, dear.
I think I am the only cobbler to craft shoes with toes. I believe they will become fashionable. I will create them ornamented with feathers, for they arise out of my fondness for birds. Real birds, not like that metalsmith menagerie of tin birds. I often think that the foot is like a bird, hopping along, pecking at the ground. And poor thing, how can it stand steady without toes, or better, claws, to grip the earth? I have cages full of flesh and blood singing birds from which I will model my fine slippers. And I have just finished transferring out of my largest cage my tropical songbirds because there is standing outside on the window ledge a remarkable fowl. A kind of firebird of colors, a firework of a bird that will get me the king's leg. If I lower my cage on him, I will be made. So, gently with the window sash, and...
My father, Lord, my bones, my mother, sit my marrow. My old sister picked me from her tea. I've gathered the bones of me.
Sing again, bird. Sing again. While you're singing, I tremble so I can hardly stand. But if you do not sing, I think I could cage you. Yet I want you to sing.
I will sing for those sky-colored shoes.
What? The sapphire slippers? Those are the Duke's. I do not own them, though I made them. He handed me a supple hide and told me it was his uncle's, whose title he has. And his feet only felt comfortable when they were trampling on his uncle. I cannot give you the Duke's uncle. He would have my skin. Though I doubt if he'd feel comfortable, cobbled in a cobbler. I have dyed them a royal hue.
I will sing for those sky shoes.
All right. Done. I'm done too, but I must hear that song. If the Duke looks for his uncle's tattoos, I will explain they got lost in the selvage and use a doe's skin. But if I could learn that song, I could persuade anybody of anything.
In a black stone,
clickety clack of the mill,
chip chop at the stone,
our mill wheel of granite,
fired at the earth's focus,
round as the sun, pierced at the center,
the stone years in the carbon,
our warm loaves of new bread, ground in black granite,
will steam like baby's breath.
My mother called me, my father.
Why have you stopped?
Listen, you can't hear it with all that hammering.
The job's nearly finished.
15 millers, men.
Hugh in a millstone.
Clickety clack of a mill.
Chip chop at the black stone.
Our mother earth.
Grinds the whitest flour.
Sandy thunder, star bright flour. Stone round as the sun.
Pierce through your center.
The families feed on new bread.
As feathery and warm as baby skin. Ground by the stern stone.
My favorite team. Salted my bones.
Hush! Listen. The bird on the linden tree yonder.
Nearly finished.
Ten millers, men.
Hewing their new stone to bed in the mill.
Pierce through the center, grinding the ages
of what sprung from the earth.
Earth grinds upon earth.
The mill whitens like frost.
Good bread on the table.
White as child flesh.
My sister drank my marrow. Bury my bones deep.
That bird! Hush, your hammering will scare it. How can you work when it's singing?
Nearly finished.
Five millers' men
have hewed the new stone that round the black sun pierced through the center,
grinds white lightning with granite thunder for all to feed.
Bird, sing again as I work. Join with my work song. Add your magic to the stone. I am the only one left working.
Bird, sing as we rest, so your symphony may recreate us.
Give me the stone when it's made.
Our stone, our living.
Maybe the old one is good enough for us.
To know that song for ourselves, all work would be pleasure thereafter. We could with ease carve another.
Great navel stone,
round as the sun.
Life work of 20 men.
Collar fit for an extraordinary bird, who wears a gold chain, who flies in blue slippers.
Set the beam.
The stone is completed.
Raise the stone. Heave-ho, heave-ho. Raise the stone.
As the moon rises, let the bird fly through its center. Carry the stone off. Light as a thundercloud.
Work will be pleasure, having heard that song ever after.
My father regarded me, my mother butchered me, my sister drank me up and took my bones and took my bones. All day.
I feel as though a great weight has been lifted from my heart. Oh! Quite suddenly, as though a stone was lifted from my shoulders, I feel wonderfully good.
That's strange. I feel terrible. Is there thunder coming? I heard the roof tree creaking as though a heavy weight had settled there. Something that should be flying has settled on our house.
It's strange. I feel wonderfully good. It can't be thunder. The sun's shining. I feel as though I were going to meet a friend.
I feel buried alive. Anne-Marie weeping in the hearth among the ashes makes it no better. Weep, weep, weep. Can't you smile and make us all feel better? I would cry if I could.
Anne-Marie must be releasing all her sorrow in 1 hour of her young life.
Why does my sorrow feel like thunder that won't break?
Listen. Isn't that singing far above?
Singing? There's an ugly howling from the approaching storm. God, I must get this top off.
That's your best dress. I do believe that is the bird my friend the cobbler told me about that sings so sweetly. They are words, if I could hear them. I'm going outside. The sun's shining, it is warm. The whole world smells of, I don't know, cinnamon. I'm going outside. Come outside, Anne-Marie, leave your weeping. I think that bird is calling.
Don't go, husband, don't go. My head is bursting. I feel the house is about to burst into flames.
There. Do you hear it? The bird has given me. It has just dropped out of the sky.
Father, that golden chain around your neck, it makes you look like a king.
Oh, God, bury me. The thing has come for me.
Come out into the sun, Eve. Look at this wonderful chain the bird has given me.
I know why you are weeping now, Anne-Marie. I will weep with you in the ashes.
Stay weeping indoors all day. I hear the bird calling too. I will go outside to find out what it will do to me. Glorious bird, sing my sin aloud.
I was driven from my mother to thee because my sister took pity on me.
Look, Father, it has given me magic shoes. Sapphire with sapphire stones. Slippers like bird claws which fit perfectly. See how I can dance in them. See how they grip. Oh, I'm so happy.
I am happy too, my dear.
You shall be the Lord Mayor in that gold chain. I felt so sad before I went outside. Now everything is warm and smells of cinnamon. Mother, come outside. Be happy with us.
No. I tell you, it's the end of the world. You are playing with electricity. That electric bird settled on our roof tree is what they call the devil. It electrifies me. Look! My hair! It is standing on end. I must get hurt. I will roll in the ashes. The coating of ashes.
My mother devoured me. My mother butchered me. My mother drank me.
By the halfback. They will sound softer as the white sky. I am through the door. The house is burning. It is burning. It is the bird on the roof tree.
Mother. Meteorite has fallen from heaven and squashed her. A great black millstone. I can see her blood bubbling through the center hole. But look who's here, coming through the steam and the smoke. He mustn't see the blood or the splashed brains. Victor, are you back then? Did you enjoy your visit with your great uncle? He's a great classical scholar, they tell me. Come in and let's have supper. I want you to decline the verb amo, amare to me.
In Grimm's Fairy Tales, The Juniper Tree, written by Peter Redgrove, the mother was played by Jennifer Piercy, Norman by Michael McStye, and Eve by Deborah Makepeace. Abigail Doherty was Anne-Marie, Stephen Hattersley, the metalsmith, David Goodland, the cobbler, and Anthony Coop, Victor, the bird. The music was composed and realised by Stephen Rollings, and the director was Brian Miller.